That is a picture of the rat. It comes into your life and it makes you 1 year older. Well, at least you became 1 year older yesterday. All of you, whether you like it or not, I'm not sure if you really know that you have become 1 year older or not, but according to Chinese custom, you are indeed 1 year older. You are right. This morning, I'm going to speak on the Chinese New Year of the Rat. And the Chinese New Year began yesterday and will be on until the 11th of February 2021. Well, the rat is the first of the 12-year cycle of the Chinese zodiac signs. Now, what is this zodiac we are speaking of? The zodiac is a chart of an area of the sky divided into 12 equal sectors, where the moon and the sun and the planets go through. And with each sector is associated an animal. And this particular year, the sector that's associated with the animal is the rat year. Now, I began the study of the animals in the Chinese New Year since the year 1983. And that will be 37 years ago, and therefore this will be the third cycle of my study on the Chinese New Year animals. Now, perhaps to those who are new, you will be wondering, what is this all about? This is taking the opportunity of using the animal in the Chinese New Year to make it a topic of study in the Bible, to search for that animal in the Bible and to see what the Bible has to say about that animal. And I've done this for 36 years without fail. So this year, 2020, we come back to the first of the cycle, the year of the rat. This was the one that I started with, and I will end it. Today, you are privileged to listen to the last study of the year of the animal with me. Next year, I will not be speaking on this subject anymore, nor the years that follow. So, what do we have to learn about this year of the rat? Now, the year of the rat, of course, is connected with the zodiac, and it is a circular chart portraying the area of the sky with the various signs of the animals. In the first place, how did animals come about? Well, we learned that the Emperor Jade, he was the one who wanted to name these various sectors, and he called these 12 animals, and they wanted to be the first to be in that circle. And Emperor Jade said, all right, we'll see. We have a competition. Whoever is the first to cross this river will be the first, and the others will come in that order. And so that was a competition. And the ox, being the strongest of the animals around, well, I might show you the animals, being the strongest of the animals, the ox was the first. And as it was, as it reached the bank on the other side, and it was about to jump, what happened was, earlier there was this rat. The rat had jumped upon the ox, and then when the ox was about going to jump onto the bank, the rat very quickly jumped first. And that's how the rat became the first. So those of you who are rats, you are very clever. Or should I use the word cunning? lived on the back of the ox. And by the way, I'm an ox, so you know how old I am now. So I have lost to you. You have pounced upon my back, jumped to be the first one, and now you are the first, and I'm the second. Never mind, it doesn't matter. So that's the zodiac. And the horoscope will be referring to what has been divided, what has been regulated upon the zodiac. And astrology is associated with the horoscope for telling your future. What will be the future of those people born in that particular year of that animal? And for 2020, the horoscope is the red year is going to be a strong, prosperous, and lucky year for almost all Chinese zodiac signs. In other words, everyone born into this world will have a very good future in 2020. It will be prosperous, and you will have innovative ideas and hobbies and so on, and go on. You can start a business, you can invest money, and you'll be prosperous. Now that is the horoscope, the astrology for all those who are born, especially in the year of the red, and which covers all the others also born in the other years. But what has the Bible got to say about all these things? Children of Israel, before they went into the Holy Land proper, they were warned in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 12, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now, these horoscopes, these zodiacs, these astrology predictions and so on, they are an abomination unto the Lord. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. All who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. And therefore, we should not be involved in all these horoscopes, feng shui, what the stars foretell. As Christians, we should not at all associate ourselves with them. We need to go back to the Word of God for all that is in front of us. So, biblically then, this year of the red, what can I study about the red? Where do we find the red in the Bible? Now, if you use the King James Version, you will never find the word red at all, or in the New King James. But you can find the word mice in NASB, or in NRSV, rodents. Now, all these are about the same category. Mice, mouse, rodents, and so on. But where can we find the word red? The Hebrew word is akbar, translated in the English translations in various forms, as I have already named. But where can we really find the word red? In which version? You can find it, I'm sure some of you already notice it, in your NIV. In the NIV, the word is translated red six times. It occurs six times. And the first one is Leviticus 11:29, then Isaiah 66:17, and four times in the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 6. So there are six occurrences, and it is our point this morning to study the six occurrences of the word red in the Bible. And that's what we are doing for the study of the year of the red. It is not a fortune telling. It is not a forecasting. It is not telling what stars will tell. It is a Bible study of the word red as occurs in the Bible. So, looking at Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29, we see the regulations regarding the red. Leviticus 11:29 is very clear concerning the red, and it is pronounced as unclean. The red is not fit for consumption. It falls into a list of animals and creatures that the Lord forbids the Israelites to eat. It is not fit for consumption, Leviticus 11, 29, 42, 43. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this unclean red. It falls into the category of being unclean. These things also shall be unclean unto you, among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel, the mouse, or the rat, and the tortoise of the kind. Now, it's strange. It says there, the creeping things that creep upon the earth are unclean. When we talk of creeping things, you will not think of the creatures with legs. But then a mouse has got legs, the tortoise has got legs, the weasel has got legs. So how can they be classified as creeping? Well, the Bible classifies them as creeping. Perhaps these animals have legs which are short. And because they are short, when they walk, they look like creeping. Well, whatever it is, the rat comes under the creeping creature category. So the rat is unclean because perhaps, is short-legged and therefore considered a creeping creature. So the first thing that is important to us to note is a creeping creature is unclean. A rat is unclean. And although we know it has got legs, it is regarded as a creeping creature. And because of that, it is unclean, as we shall see later on. Now, how do we apply this into our lives? 2 Timothy 3:6, we read, "Because beware of those that creep," they are creeping animals, creeping creatures, "into homes and houses to captivate." King James Version says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women." Now, ladies, please don't jump on me yet. I know that some of you may not like this one. But anyway, we'll explain that later on. "For among them are those that make their way into households and captivate silly women." Now, the Bible is not saying that all women are silly. You are silly to say that. You are silly to think that. The Bible does not say women are silly. It's just that it refers to these creeping creatures, two-legged creatures, that creep into your homes, that creep into your houses, to captivate you with their stories. And you are so influenced by them. And that's where the word silly occurs. You are so influenced by them, so captured and so captivated by their stories that you become captured by them to be their followers. And these are the people we must beware. They are creeping creatures. Right. So beware of the following that can creep into a person's life. Just now I said, beware of creeping creatures that come into the homes, into the houses, to captivate the fancies of the targeted people, and then after that, to capture them, to be their followers. Now, how do these two-legged creatures, or perhaps other creatures apart from being two-legged, creep into your house to capture you in this way? May I suggest to you three features that you must be aware of. Number one, beware of the computer rat. After all, to use a computer, when you first started, you have to use a mouse, isn't it? So then first beware of the computer mouse, which leads on to the computer rat. And what is this computer rat? RAT, Remote Access Trojan. It's a malware program that includes a black backdoor for administrative control over the targeted computer. Rats are usually downloaded invisibly with a user-requested program, such as a game or sent as an email attachment. And when you play with your computer and you go into all these sites, then this rat, this computer rat, creeps into your computer, gains control of your computer, and there you are caught, captured by the rat. Because beware of these computer rats. Now, this computer rat can come in through emailing, the internet sites that you visit, the time that you spend in the chat rooms, playing games, etc., etc. You know them. You know them. Now, be very careful. Today, we have got not so much the computer, but the phone, the smartphone. Because the smartphone now can be used as a computer, and the rat can come in through the smartphone as well. So that when we are gathered together, for example, for dinner, perhaps, this is a real picture of what it is. We find that we are seated around the rectangle table, talking, and everyone has a computer, has a smartphone in his hands. Now, do not mistake these people that you see on the screen, because they are not using computer to talk to one another. Actually, they are doing conferencing. All of them are referring to material in the phone, and from there they make it as basis for them to discuss matters and so on. So it is not, I repeat, it is not these people looking at each phone belonging to each one and they're not talking to one another, but they are referring, it's a basis for reference to something where they can come together and discuss for conference. Now, this picture can also portray a group of a family around the dining table, supposed to eat Chinese New Year evening dinner, but each one would have a smartphone. And then instead of talking and communicating, everyone is texting one another. And sometimes texting not only a person outside, far away, but the husband speaking to the wife across the table. That's, how are you, darling? Oh, I'm well, thank you, and so on. Now, is this so? Beware of the computer rat. Beware of the smartphone rat. It has crept into many families. Now, I'm so happy to see some of you coming to the meeting here with a smartphone, and you use it perhaps to refer to the Bible. And if you come early, instead of switching on your handphone, your smartphone, and looking at the WhatsApp chats and playing games and so on, look at videos, why not use that? Prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper. Read the Bible. So this is something I think all of us have to be aware of. This rat can come into the church in this way, taking our attention away from the Lord's Supper, away from the thoughts of the Lord, and to something that occupies our minds, which are not edifying to us all. Right. That's one. Another rat. Beware of the credit card rat. Today, it's not only the credit card, it is the wallet. So easy now to spend money. I don't have to carry cash with me. I just tick, 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 pay. Tick, 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 pay. And in the end of it all, I do not know how much money I have left. I may have overspent, but I don't feel it because it's really tick, tick, tick. And at the end, when the balance sheet comes, we find that we owe the organization certain amount of money, and the result is we are in debt. And no wonder, because of this easy availability of credit cards, it led to snowballing of debt and then bankruptcy. And that's what an article in the New Straits Times last year said, that credit cards are becoming more about credit and less about cards, and then it leads on to bankruptcy. So we need to beware of this kind of credit card rat that creeps into our lives without our knowledge. Contemporary lifestyle rat. This is another danger we must be thinking of. where each one of us tries to live up to the Joneses. We try to be what the Joneses are. We try to copy the lifestyle of our contemporary world. And we blur the political boundaries so that we do not bother much about the moralities of what the Bible says to be holy. We follow the world, and then the result is we live up to their style. So there is always a challenge between the world on one side and the Word of God on one side. The world and the Word. And that's why we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the lust of the world, that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are of the world. They are not of the Lord. They are not of the Word of God." We need to beware of these two competitions. The world says, believe in yourself. The Bible says, you believe in God, trust in God. The world says, your life is in your hands, control your life. The Word of God says, your life is in God's hands. The world says, you only live once, right? So live and enjoy yourself, be merry. The Word of God says, live to please God and not for yourself. The world says, speak for what you want. Never mind, you hurt people also doesn't matter. The Word says, speak with grace and with wisdom. The world says, follow your heart. You have somebody whom you love. Follow him. Follow her. Be partner. Have a partnership with him or with her. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together. For not follow your heart, but follow God's Word. And together, serve the Lord. Right? The world says, your partner completes yourself. Oh, you are my partner. You are my mate. You complete me. The Bible says, we, both husband and wife, are to come together and complete themselves in God. And so we find the challenge between the world and the Word of God. We need to be careful what the Word, what the world says to us, and what the Word of God says. All right. Just now we say, be wary of creeping men, two-legged creatures that creep into our homes and our houses to corrupt us, to captivate us, to capture us. Now, beware of those who creep not only into homes, but into churches. Into churches, they secretly slip into the church, and Jude 4 warns us, for there are certain men crept in like a rat, unawares. Or, as another version reads, for certain men have secretly slipped in among men. And we find now churches are changing. That these libertines turn the grace of our God into a license for lasciviousness or immorality. And we find that today, in many churches outside, people who are so-called liberal, and they work themselves into the leadership of the church, and they become the leaders of the church. We have got bishops who can have sex with the same sex, men who are gay, women who are lesbians, people who are corrupt, people who are unholy, and yet they form the leaders in the various churches. How do they come in? They have crept in like rats. And we need to beware of them. What is a libertine lifestyle? A libertine is one devoid of most moral principles. A sense of responsibility or sexual restraints, which are seen as unnecessary or undesirable, especially one who ignores or even spurns accepted morals. Libertinism is described as an extreme form of hedonism, self-pleasure, self-interest, satisfying self. Now these are the things that crept into the lives of these people, and these people are like rats, have crept into the church, and they have taken over the leadership of the church, and you need to beware. And these people are people who deny the deity of the Lord. And that's why they act as they do. And that's why they behave as they do. Because they deny the deity of the Lord. The Lord is no more Lord of their lives, but they themselves are the Lord of their own lives. So beware of these creatures. Beware too of crafty, confident tricksters who captivate gullible and vulnerable children. Now, the word children, I do not refer to little kids, but I refer to men and women who ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are the children that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. They are the ones that can come in, creep into our lives, and before we know it, we have thoughts that are contemporary with them, and we forsake the teachings of the Lord, and we conform to what they tell us. So be careful. And this is possible because we are immature and we ourselves are not holy, that we allow these errors to come into our lives. Let me give you just an instance, an example. That today, even in our country, we see people with holy garbs, with holy skull caps, with holy pronouncements and so on. And yet they are the ones we find entertaining and molesting women, children, and then even acknowledging those who are corrupt to be their leaders and to acknowledge them as their leaders and so on. Now, what is happening? And these are religious people. More about them later on as we go on. Right. So, what do we do to challenge, to counter these creeping creatures, the rats that come into our homes, that come into our lives, that come into our churches? What do? We need to know our common salvation and earnestly contend for the faith. But how can we do that? We can only do that when we are ready always to give an answer, as every man that asketh you, how? For a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And we do that by studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to do that. We need to know our Bible. We need to study our Bible. Don't just listen with our ears. Don't just look with our eyes. Let us read the Bible, study the Bible, and interpret the Bible in the right context. That's important. Many people also know the Bible, but they spiritualize the Bible, they allegorize the Bible, until the Bible becomes a fairy tale. So we need to know the Scriptures, rightly studying the Word of Truth. Alright, where have I gone? I have just finished one point. And that is the pronouncement of the unclean rat. And I told you, it has legs, but it is categorized as a creeping creature. So we now come to the conclusion. A rat is a creeping creature. And because a rat is a creeping creature, then it is not clean. Because as we read in Leviticus chapter 11, all rats, all creeping creatures are unclean. A rat is not clean, and therefore a rat is a creeping creature, therefore it is not clean. So beware of things that defile. For us as Christians, we need also to beware of things that are not clean, that can creep into our lives, that are unclean. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? We must not have a compromise here. Be ye separate. So beware of unclean communion and concord with unbelievers. Be ye separate. There are ways and walk that can defile us because we are not separate. And there are thoughts and talk that can degrade us again because we are not separate? Philippians 4:8, we are exhorted always to think of thoughts that are honest, that are true, that are pure, that are of honest report, and so on. So we have to think of our own thoughts and our ways of behavior, our walk and our talk, our walk. And in this way, we should not be creeping as the rat, but we should rise up and walk in faith. Right. Be aware of God's condition for relationship and reception. The Bible already says in 2 Corinthians, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you be your father." So the conditions laid down there, very clear. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So be careful when we compare what God said to Peter. I'm taking this as an instance where we can compromise because of our misinterpretation of the word of God. What happened? Peter was asked to go to Cornelius to win him unto the Lord. And he said, "No, I cannot, because I do not eat things that are unclean. And a Gentile is unclean. I am a Jew. I am clean. I am circumcised. A Gentile is unclean and uncircumcised." But God, in order to correct that kind of misinterpretation, gave him a vision where a sheep was lowered down from heaven full of unclean animals. And the Lord said to him, "Rise, eat these creatures." Oh, he said, "No, Lord, I will never eat these. Those things which are unclean, I will never eat." And God says, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." And this has been wrongly used by many people to justify, to do unclean things, to regard them as clean. The Lord, when he said, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common," is not saying that all the unclean things that we have talked about, all the unclean things that he has listed, are now to be regarded as clean because he has cleansed them. No. That's why it's important to study thyself, approve unto God, a workman that in the thought of same, rightly dividing the word. You must rightly divide the word according to its context. This applies to God's act of making clean or circumcised Jews to be together with the unclean Gentiles or uncircumcised Jews, so that God has broken down the middle wall of partition between the two parties and has made them one in Christ Jesus. They had nothing to do with clean and unclean animals that we can eat or we cannot eat, but it has to do with God bringing the two parties together so that they be one in Christ. It is not advocating compromise or conformity, and that's what we need to understand. Right. Why did God have this list of unclean animals which could not be consumed, which could not be eaten? Leviticus 11:47, there is this register of unclean animals. Why did God list out all these animals as unclean? Well, simply is to make a difference in the food to be eaten, to safeguard physical health. They were on a journey in the wilderness, and they must safeguard their physical health. If not, many would die. And today we know what would happen to the coronavirus that is spreading wildfire. And if it is due to unclean food, then that unclean food must be stopped. Well, whatever is the cause, we do not know yet, but whatever is the cause must be stopped. And so we find that it's important that we know what is clean and what is unclean. So for the sake of physical health, this list comes about. But more importantly, for the sake of spiritual health, so that the fellowship between the people of God and God was maintained. And we read that in Leviticus 11:44-45, "I am the Lord your God, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. If at all we learn anything from this study of the red year, it is that this year of the red, we need to be holy. And this does not only apply to the Israelites, as God commanded them to be holy, but this also applies to us. We need to be sanctified and be separated, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:17, the verse that I had quoted to you earlier. It is separation from the world system. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and a separation unto God. We need to be holy, for God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15, 16. So you see, these commands do not only apply to the people in Israel, but apply to us also, that we need to live a holy life. And therefore, let the red of year be our resolution to be holy as God is holy. Right, I finished the first one. Now we come to the second occurrence of the word red. And it is found in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 17. It's the second occurrence of the word red. And it comes about at a time when the Israelites were sanctified, seemingly holy before God, but at the back, as defiled as ever, polluted. What happened? Isaiah 66 verse 17, we find this text. Those who consecrate and purify themselves to go into the gardens, following one who is among those who eat the flesh of pigs, rats, and other unclean things, they will meet their end together with the one they follow. So what happened? There would be this group, and they would go secretly behind the groves into the gardens, following one person who had misled them, the rat, into hiding. And there in secrecy, they would eat the pig's flesh, which would be unclean, very, very unclean, and they would eat the rats, which would be unclean as well. And so they did all the unclean and unholy things behind the scenes, and this is the red you have to be aware of. Outside, we look to be very pure. Outside, we look to be very holy, very clean. But they go secretly behind, in the groves and in the gardens, and they do all the gross things. Their outward purity and holiness without inward piety is indeed hypocrisy. And that's what 66:17 says. Which say, stand by thyself. And these people say this, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, says the Lord, a fire that burneth all the day. Do not you hear this now? Among the religious circles, among the religious groups, among the religious leaders, I am holy. Don't come near me. I am holy. You are dirty. You are defiled. Don't you ever wish any Christian Merry Christmas. Take down the cross in the mission school. That is not right. Take down the Ten Commandments in the court. And so many, many other things. And who are these people who say these things? Holy people. Holy people. They are holy. Don't come near me. I am holy. Therefore, these things are unholy. What I say, do. But they corrupt themselves. They molest children. They rape women. They victimize women. These are the things that they do. Holy, yes. Is that what the Bible says about holy? When I say, in this great year, be holy, this is not the kind of holiness that I am advocating, but true holiness. They put up a smoke screen, covering themselves up, but remember, God is a God of fire, and He will pierce through that smoke screen, and He will bring them unto destruction, as we read in Isaiah 66 and 17. Right, last occurrence of the word red, four of them at one time, in the passage 1 Samuel chapter 6 verses 4 and 5. In this passage, we see again the occurrence of the word red, or reds. Well, these reds represent God's chastisement on the Philistines. 1 Samuel 6, 4 and 5. What happened? That was God's punishment upon the people of the Philistines. Why? The people had boils on their body, tumors, they are boils, and they are found perhaps in their rectal areas. And these people, men, women, children, are suffering like nobody's business. And they cried out in pain, hemorrhoids, that's what I was thinking of, in their rectal area. And these boils were disturbing them. It is believed that it was God chastising them for something they had done. Also, there were rats. Rats were everywhere in their harvesting fields, spoiling their harvest. All their good harvest had been eaten up by the rats. And so we find these rats were a menace. Right, what's the reason behind this? The reasons: the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they had placed the Ark of the Covenant side by side with their god, the god of Dagon, the fish god, side by side on the same pedestal. How could God's Ark be placed on the same level as the Ark, the idol god of fish that they worship? No, that could not be. The next day, the next morning, their god, their Dagon, fell in front of the ark and broke into pieces. God would not allow an idol to be on equal status with him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Those who worship other gods, man, mammon, materialism, music, remember these are can be gods. Men, we read in Romans 1:23 that man has changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of a corruptible man, and have worshipped him. And we have found Matthew 6:23-24, thou shalt not serve God and mammon. Money can come forth as rest to place it on a pedestal for us to worship. Be careful of that. Music, I'll speak about that later on. They treated God as a graven image, and therefore God was very angry, and God destroyed them. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image. Covetousness is also idolatry. So do not ever think that only images are idolatry. But there are, you know, our greed for money, our greed for food even, because that can be served, that can be the gods of our belly. And all these are gods that displace God in our lives. We need to be careful. And music. Today we find many young people very interested in music. And that's cool. But then they do not look for the lyrics. Some of the lyrics are so blasphemous. And they displace God. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are very immoral. But many young people idolize. Idolize these people who sing. They sing very well. The music is superb, but the lyrics are far from being superb. Be careful of these rats that come into our lives. They did not give God his glory. And the purpose of our lives on this earth is to give God praise and glory. So the Philistines, they realized that all these calamities had come upon them because of the ark, which they had captured, and they had placed on the same equal status as their god. That could not be. That must not be. And so they decided to return the Ark of the Covenant to its original place. And they realized they had sinned, and therefore they must also have a guilt offering to accompany the sending back of the Ark to its original place. So they were to give God a gift offering. What would it be? Return him a trespass offering, then you shall be healed. 5 gold tumors to represent the boils that were afflicting them, and 5 gold mice that were afflicting the harvest in the fields. And so they made these symbols to give to God back as their guilt offering. The offerings that they gave as they were about to send the Ark of the Covenant back must be first rate. The tumors and the rats that represent their affliction must be made of gold, and so we find golden tumors and golden rats were given as sacrifices to God. We find also the offerings must be first class. They must be carried, the Ark of the Covenant must be carried on a new cart, never used before. That's how much they respected God. Sometimes we don't even respect God to that effect. We come to the Lord's Supper as if it means nothing to us. Let us not allow this kind of right to come into our minds to take away the glory of the Lord from our lives. The offering must be first hand. The cows that pull the cart must be new cows, must be cows that have just given birth to calves. And they say, to know that this was God's punishment on us, let us send back the Ark of the Covenant without any person to guide the cows back. Just let the calves go. And to make sure that it was indeed not chance by any way, they purposely kept back the calves that were just born in their homes, and they sent the mother cows out. And naturally the mother cows would feel for the calves and would come back if it was not God's way. But if they were under God's control, then the cows would go on their own. Let's see what happened. So the ark with the golden rats and tumors, they were sent back to Bethshemesh. They were to be carried on a new cart pulled by 2 cows that had just calved. And the cows went back to Bethshemesh without any men guiding the cows back. The cows naturally should go back to their calves, the newborn cows, but they did not, giving evidence and proof that it was indeed God's control of the cows to take them back, because God was sovereign. So it's confirmed that it was not due to coincidence or chance that they had tumors on their boils, on their bodies, or the rats in their eating up their harvest. So the golden rats represent the Philistine rulers, and they acknowledge their guilt. God was glorified with the ark returned to his people, and the stone of Abel was the place where the ark went back. And well, we ask, should the Israelites be happy that the ark had been returned? The ark came back to its resting place and was placed on the stone of Abel. And what happened? What happened? Again, the Israelites had no respect, no reverence for God. Some people went to look inside the ark. And when they looked inside the ark, God struck the people dead. A number of people fell dead. There must always be reverence when we come to God's presence. The Levites were the only one entitled to touch the ark. But these were the ordinary people. They looked into the ark and they were killed. And we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And after that, they were so afraid, they dare not own possession of the ark. They sent it to another tribe. And it was there for a number of years without the ark. Sad, very sad. The presence of God, the reverence for God is taken away, and then they in name worship God, but in reality does not revere God. So with this I end the reminder for this right here. What have we learned? 1. Sup not with rats that are not clean. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Just as he who called you is holy, so be ye holy. 2. Stop the rats that creep in unawares, whether they come into our homes, or whether they come into our church, or whether they come into our contemporary lives. Let us stop the rats. They have no form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, and we must beware of them. 3. And last one, sacrifice to God. Respect his presence. Revere his person in this year of the rat. I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. May the Lord bless all of us, as my wife and I and my family take this opportunity to wish all of you a blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous. And by prosperous, I mean know the word of God and read the word of God, and not the huat chai of the prosperity in the Chinese New Year greeting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We pray, Lord, that we may live up to what thy word demands of each one of us, to live holy lives because thou art holy. Help us, Lord, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto thee. Lord, we do realize of these unclean rats creeping into our lives, into our homes, and into the churches. Help us, Lord, to be aware of them, and help us able to counter them when the time comes, to know thy word, and to revere thee, and to respect all that is contained in thy word. We thank you, Lord, for this time spent together. We give thee thanks for the food that awaits us after this. We thank you for the fellowship we can have with one another. We give thee thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.